At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology. We heard the psalm quoted an awful lot. I don't know that people knew that they were quoting from Psalm 146 over the last 6 months or a year when a presidential election here in the United States turned weird and people on both sides, Christians on both sides, were worried and they would turn to a passage like, "Put not your trust in princes." Now, I think it was usually quoted to say, "Don't trust in this presidential election. Don't trust in whoever gets elected. Don't trust the system. Trust rather in God." Now, that's a pretty good application for today. What did it mean when those words were first uttered and written? And how do they relate to Christ in Psalm 146? He's certainly a prince, certainly a king, but he is the one that we're called to trust in. On this Thursday afternoon, it's Christ in the Old Testament, our series here on Issues Etc. with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
So this is the kind of the most quoted verse from this psalm, but does it get the point of the psalm? Is it, in essence, kind of the theme of the thing?
Well, I think that's a great way to look at it, as a theme for the psalm itself, making a contrast between earthly kingdoms versus the heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of God. Now, it is interesting to note that in the Greek, the Septuagint, the translations that we have in the past that the ancient church used to use, at the heading, they added an extra comment there in the title, and they specifically put that this was a hallelujah, that is where we get the praise Yahweh. It is a hallelujah of Haggai and Zechariah, the two prophets that, of course, are going to be proclaiming God's kingdom after the exile. So this would be after you have the Babylonian captivity and the return to Jerusalem, where now you're starting to rebuild, and you're starting to look at things coming together once again into focus now in the kingdom. And so it is interesting to note that in the Septuagint that they put that extra title, that this is a praise to Yahweh from these prophets who are trying to focus the people's attention not on these earthly kingdoms. So don't trust in these princes. Don't look to a son of man here in whom there is no salvation. Don't look to one whose spirit departs when he dies and he returns back to the ground and all of his plans will perish. That's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for a physical kingdom. It's also interestingly to note that in the prophet Zechariah in particular, he will proclaim in chapter 4 of his book that the word of Yahweh given to Zerubbabel, who would be one of these princes, would be that it's not going to be by might, it's not going to be by power, but it is going to be by my spirit, says Yahweh of hosts. That we understand clearly that the kingdom we are waiting for is a spiritual kingdom. This is the kingdom of Christ. And of course, later on in Zechariah chapter 9, he once again will reiterate that this is not a physical kingdom. This is a spiritual kingdom. And so he will say that the chariots from Ephraim will be cut off. The war horses from Jerusalem will be cut off. The battle bow shall be cut off. And so you'll have all these physical ways of battle and fighting and trying to bring an earthly kingdom, and they will be replaced with what? Preaching, speaking peace to the nations. And this is precisely how Christ will reign from sea to sea, to the ends of the earth, in the proclamation of the gospel. Now, this psalm, of course, is very similar to what you have in Psalm 118, where in this same understanding, Psalm 18 would say that it's better to take refuge in Yahweh than to trust in princes. Well, that, of course, takes us back to Psalm 2 about God's kingdom, in which we are to take refuge in the Son. So you have the Son of God, who is also Son of Man, truly divine, truly human. He's the only one who has salvation. And when we talk about the birth of Jesus, we talk about his name. He is Jesus because he will save us. He is our salvation. So this is not just merely a son of Adam. This is one who is truly human, yet also, at the same time, truly divine. And the Spirit does not depart from him. The Spirit of God remains upon him. And when he dies, he does not go down to the ground and his plans perish, but of course he rises again and his plans flourish as his message is proclaimed to the ends of the earth. So you have this contrast here between this earthly kingdom, trusting in princes, versus the heavenly kingdom. And you'll end on the note in this whole psalm that it's Yahweh who will reign forever. He's your God, O Zion, to all generations. So these earthly kingdoms will come and go. They are all temporary. But that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the spiritual kingdom that comes with God's word. This is the eternal kingdom.
Now, we want to be careful here before we go on, that when we talk about eternal versus temporal, or spiritual versus earthly, or earthly versus heavenly, we're not talking about something that here in time is entirely immaterial. We are talking about at the very least, a kingdom that is incarnate in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I think that this is exactly the direction that this psalm is going. That this psalm is going to be clear that it's not this esoteric, abstract concept of utopia that is invisible and nobody can really see it. But this is a reality that God is going to reveal. And so when he talks about this kingdom, then he'll go back to the God of Jacob. Well, that in particular, of course, is references to the book of Genesis, in which God, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, appears to Jacob. He is the God of Bethel. He's the one who comes tangibly, visibly. And of course, all of that language will point towards the mystery of the incarnation. So in this psalm itself, not only are we talking about the God of Jacob, but we're also talking about the one who is the creator of heaven and earth. So he's the one who made this physical things, not only the invisible things, the spiritual things, but also the visible, the physical, tangible things. So this is a kingdom that will come, and you'll also see, as in this psalm, it describes how these things will happen, that they will be made manifest, such as justice to the oppressed, food to the hungry, the prisoners being freed, eyes being open, and the righteous being loved, and the wicked, of course, coming to ruin. That you'll see these things take place visibly, tangibly, in the ministry of Jesus, in his miracles and his signs.
Now, that you mentioned that phrase, God of Jacob, what is behind that kind of shorthand for the true God?
Well, of course, when we have Moses at the burning bush, where again, at this bush, that something very strange is happening, that there's a fire, something visible, something tangible, but yet it's different because this fire is not consuming the bush. And he sees this, the Moloch Yahweh, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the messenger, go into the bush, and then the messenger speaks and says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this is the God that called Abraham out of darkness into his light, who converted Abraham's heart from unbelief, paganism, into true belief of the true God. And he's the one that was the recipient of this promise of the offspring, the seed of Abraham, that in him all the nations will be blessed. So this is going back to that promise to our forefathers, specifically to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. But in particular with Jacob, Jacob's the one who's given the name Israel, and he's the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. He's the one who struggles with God. And again, as you talk about something that's tangible, when you look at Genesis 28, and the Son of God comes to Jacob, he wrestles Jacob. This is something very physically, tangibly made manifest to Jacob. And of course, his hip is put out of socket. But this is where he gets that promise, and his name is changed to Israel. And later on in Genesis, he will come back and say, I am the God of Bethel, that this is the messenger. This is all the language in the mystery of the incarnation, that God comes to be with his people, to dwell with them, so that the God of Jacob comes to Moses and the Israelites in Egypt to be there in their midst, in their slavery, in their captivity, that he's the one who is going to release them from their oppressor. He's the one that has come to save them. And of course, this is none other than Christ our Lord. He's the one who's always coming to seek and to save the lost. He's the one who's always coming to be our God in our midst to do these great things. And this whole psalm is a psalm of praise where we say hallelujah, that we praise Yahweh for all that he has done, who he is and what he done. That's what a true praise song is, of course, proclaiming that he is the God of the promise, and he's the one who fulfills his promise in the birth of the Christ.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We are doing our series, Christ in the Old Testament, finding Christ everywhere in the Old Testament. Of course, we are headed in this Christmas season toward finding Christ in the manger, then finding Christ outside, alive after his resurrection, outside the empty tomb. That's the theme of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for this month of December. It's called The Christmas Connection. It's an arch book, a children's book for Christmas from Concordia Publishing House. Browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order The Christmas Connection for a child in your life. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. He had mentioned it before, but we're going to talk about Creator of Heaven and Earth, a very creedal-sounding word there from Psalm 146. Stay tuned. Does the gospel free you to do what you want? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's spiritual journey from Roman Catholicism and American Evangelicalism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Located 10 minutes north of Worcester in the heart of liberal Massachusetts, Trinity Lutheran Church in Clinton is a solid, orthodox, confessional, liturgical outpost of the Missouri Synod, where God's word is not changed to agree with the latest social trend. No megachurch fog here, just the law and gospel, every Sunday at 10 a.m. Come join us and check us out at TrinityLutheranClintonMA.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at LutherAcademy.com. LutherAcademy.com, and like them on Facebook, Facebook.com/LutherAcademy.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. this Thursday afternoon, December the 8th. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, Psalm 146, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. You had mentioned it before, but I wanted to talk about that phrase, creator of heaven and earth. Now, what is, most people are going to say, that sounds like God the Father. What does that have to do with the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ?
Yeah, well, we confess it on a regular basis when we speak the words of the Nicene Creed, that it's when we talk about the Son, we say, by whom, or by whom all things were made. For us men and of our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. That this is that second article of the Creed, that we say he is God of God, true God of true God, begotten, not made, and it is by him. All things have been put into existence, and that's what John will say in his Gospel in chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That nothing came into existence apart from him, that everything that exists came into existence through him, by him. He's the one who creates all things, so that he is the creator. Now, we need to understand that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're talking about the same God. These are not two different gods. There's only one true God. This is the God who creates all things. This is the God who is life. This is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he is the creator of heaven and earth. And as we say in Psalm 124, our help is in the name of Yahweh who made heaven and earth. Now, of course, that ties back to this psalm where we say, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Now, that whole connection of the word help, the whole connection of the word creator, that this all goes back to Genesis, that he's the one who brought life into existence. It's the devil who deceived us and brought sin and death into God's creation. And recall that before we fell into sin, you have Adam who is alone, and it's not good that he is alone, because you cannot have life that continues through Adam alone. And so God gives to Adam the gift of a wife, and the wife is to be a helper. But of course, as we know, the story unfolds, and the wife, Eve, doesn't quite help life, but if you will, kind of hinders life when she's deceived by the devil and then brings Adam into this whole mess where Adam then also takes of the fruit and eats and transgresses against God. So that Eve was to be the helper, but yet she wasn't. So now we have the true helper, always going back to God, that this mess that we've created, that we have made, that we have brought into existence because of our falling into sin, deception of the devil, it is only God the Creator who can get us out of this mess. We can't do this. We are sinful and unclean by nature, by birth. We are now in the image of Adam, a rebel, and we cannot free ourselves from this sinful condition. Now, it is interesting to note in the old TLH liturgy, the old Lutheran hymnal, we use these words back at the very beginning of the service when we draw into God's presence and we say that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. So even in our liturgical life, we understand that it's the Creator who brings life, and it is only the Creator who can restore life. It is only the Creator who can undo what we have done by bringing sin and death into our lives, that the Creator is the one who takes it away.
The list of things that this God does, kind of follow in rapid succession, I'd like you to deal with them kind of one at a time briefly, if you would. He keeps faith forever, and then it says, and he does this by working justice for the oppressed, giving food to the hungry, setting prisoners free, and opening the eyes of the blind. That really reminds me of what Jesus tells John the Baptist. Go and tell John what you see and hear when John is inquiring from prison.
Yeah, exactly. So what we are seeing seeing when we read these words from God, that we now our ears are open so that we can see properly, that we can see the Christ and his kingdom. And that was the question to Jesus. What sign, what would you show us so that we would know for certain and for sure? And these signs are visible. They are something that can be seen, something that can be experienced. And you go through these signs of releasing those who are oppressed, of feeding the hungry, opening the eyes of the blind, healing the lame. And all of these are connected to this restoration of creation, that all the promises that we have in the bodily resurrection of Jesus are now being showered upon the people prior to that death and resurrection of Jesus so that they get a taste of it, an inkling, a picture of what is to come in the new creation, that there is going to be no more death, there's going to be no more sin, there's going to be no more oppression, there's going to be no more hunger or captivity, there will be no one who is blind. We will all see like we're supposed to see. So this is all connected to what Christ comes to do that we could know for sure. These are the signs that are given to us, something tangible, something physical, visible, that we can know for certain that this is the kingdom that he comes to bring. Now, these words of he will work justice for the oppressed, that whole language of justice is the language of mishpat that we've talked about quite frequently. This is the language of justice, judgment, where things are made right. Because of this fallen world, things go wrong. Things do not go the way that they should. You have oppression. In fact, in all of these earthly kingdoms that we see depicted throughout the ages of the Old Testament, we see this this domineering, this tyranny of the devil, this oppressor who is keeping people in captivity spiritually, and of course you'll see it also physically. So it's all these earthly kingdoms where this is happening. But in this kingdom of God, this will be reversed. And you'll see that promise in Isaiah 54, where God will talk to his people, and he will say that you have been established in righteousness, and you will be far from oppression. Well, that same language is very similar to what we know in Isaiah chapter 9, that wonderful Christmas incarnational passage, the canticle that we have, that a child is born for us, a son is given for us. And what is he going to do? Well, he's going to break the rod of the oppressor. That's what he's going to do. And in this kingdom that he has, that he will reign forever on the throne of David, he will establish and uphold justice. This is the same word, this mishpat, this judgment. Everything will be made right, and he will do this with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. So you see this depiction of the kingdom of God. What kind of a kingdom is it? It's a kingdom where there is no oppression that ultimately goes back to the devil and his deception.
Now, that is kind of all culminating in this phrase, he loves the righteous. What does that mean? What does it not mean?
Well, again, when we're talking about the righteous in the Old Testament, the tzedakim, these are those who are the repentant, believing sinners. Now, that is in juxtaposition to the rashaim, that is the wicked. The wicked are those who are the unrepentant, unbelieving sinners. So the Lord loves the righteous. Those are the ones who are righteous through faith alone. But then there is still this animosity with the wicked. It is the wicked who are in rebellion against God. So it says in this psalm that the righteous are loved by the Lord, but the way of the wicked he will bring to ruin. He will put an end to it. Now, ultimately, that way of the wicked is the way of this world, of the fallen world. But it's the way where everything has gone wrong in rebellion against the Creator. So all of these miracles that we will see with Jesus, he's restoring things the way they should be. That there shouldn't be this hunger where you have people who are dying of starvation, but he's going to come and he's going to restore all of this. So he's going to give food to the hungry. You'll see this, of course, in Isaiah chapter 49. Within that day of salvation, when he helps you, he will keep you, and he will give you as a covenant to the people. Well, this is the Father speaking to the Son, the servant who will come to do these things, to establish in this land this kingdom. that he's going to say to the prisoners, come out, and to those who are in darkness, appear, and he shall feed them along the way. And there shall not be hunger or thirst. That's that messianic passage in Isaiah 49 of what the kingdom is going to look like. Or you have in Isaiah 61 those words that Jesus will use at the synagogue in Nazareth when he opens up that Isaiah scroll and says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and again, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, this time of salvation. This is the righteousness that God brings. It's the righteousness of God that now he bestows upon his people. And in these miracles that are taking place, when he opens up the eyes of the blind, you see God doing this already on this side of the resurrection. So in Isaiah 42, another one of these servant songs, where the Father says, behold my servant, the one I uphold, the one upon whom my spirit rests. This is the one who will bring forth justice to the nations. And so again, in Isaiah 42, you have this understanding of mishpat, this justice that he will bring, and it's tied to righteousness in Isaiah 42, in which he says, I am Yahweh, and I have called you in righteousness, and I will take you by the hand and keep you, and I will give you as a covenant for the people and a light for the nations. So this is the Father now talking to the Son, and he says to the Son, and you will open the eyes that are blind and bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. So this is this whole connection of what God does, who God is, that God is love and he comes to bring love. The Christ is this incarnate love. The Christ is righteousness, is incarnate righteousness, and he comes to bring this righteousness to us. Now, of course, this is a spiritual kingdom, so how does this come about? Well, through the preaching of his word by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. When we come back, we're going to look at the very last thing it says here. Seems not as significant as the others, but I imagine since it's last, it's probably very important. He watches over the sojourners and upholds the widow and the fatherless. We'll be right back. Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. when you think about your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2016, we're approximately $78,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. IssuesETC.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The Issues Etc. book of the month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas arch book at IssuesETC.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're doing our series, Christ in the Old Testament, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. If you enjoy our weekly series, Christ in the Old Testament, with Pastor Ketchelmeyer, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. You can make a financial contribution by check. Make a check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure tax-deductible donation at our website, issuesetc.org. With 4 weeks left in the year, we're about $78,000 short of our 2016 expenses. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2016. Brian, this thing that's left toward the end might seem insignificant, but I suspect that since it's at the end, it might even summarize what we've been talking about here with about 2 minutes. It says he watches over sojourners, widows, and orphans.
Well, again, this is a praise of Yahweh, who he is, what he's done. It goes back to creation. He made the heavens and the earth. He's the one who is our help. But here in particular, this word he watches over, this is the word for keep. And we know the word keep, shamar, from all the way back in Genesis, where you have Cain and Abel. And Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? Well, of course he's not. He doesn't keep the life of Abel at all. So here we have the true keeper, the one who truly keeps our life. Here we have the true brother, the one who is there for us, to keep us alive and to be with us and to care for us. And so this understanding of this keeping, of the sojourner, here you have one who is talking about he will be the friend of the stranger, the sojourner, the one who we are all, as baptized, we are pilgrims and strangers here on earth in this fallen creation, but he is now a friend with us as he makes the new creation. That he becomes the husband for the widow, if you will. That's the image of the church, that he is the everlasting father. That goes back to Isaiah chapter 9, of course, that he will have many offspring in the church in the waters of holy baptism. And of course, this whole language of caring for the orphan is the fatherless. Well, he becomes a father to them. Again, that same language of Isaiah 9, everlasting father. He's the husband. He's the one who brings us. He becomes a father for us because he frees us from the family of the devil. And so it was the devil who was our father, who was a murderer and a liar from the beginning, but now in conversion, he's taken us out of this captivity, out of this darkness, into his light, into his life, and now he becomes the father for the fatherless, the husband for the widow, and the friend for the stranger.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. He is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's also host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
It's great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to take up a very interesting subject, a subject that, well, it's been a matter of curiosity, but not necessarily a lot of answers in terms of its history, the religious faith of Adolf Hitler. Some say he was a Christian and that Christianity was behind his terrible ideas and his murderous intent. Others say, can't be, he was an atheist. Or others will say, no, he was a pagan. Are any of those true? What were his religious beliefs? We'll answer that question tomorrow on Issues Etc. with Dr. Richard Weikart, Professor of Modern European History at California State University. I'll talk with you then. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.